Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's going on right now? I'm talking with Scott from a band called Cloak. They're from Atlanta, Georgia. First off, welcome to the show, man. You're in Atlanta right now?
Yep.
Right on, man. So how are you doing today, dude? How's the weather down there? I'm assuming probably pretty muggy and warm.
Yeah, I was going to say it's pretty hot here already. You know, that's pretty typical for Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And we got that tour coming up. And we'll be in Texas in July, so it'll probably be even worse there. So, wow. A lot of heat. Yeah.
Damn, dude. I see you're wearing an old school Sepultura shirt. Have you had a chance to see that Cavalera doing a Rise Beneath an Arise tour yet?
No, my friends were at MDF and they said it was amazing. And I saw footage from it and was pretty jealous. We couldn't make MDF because we were on that tour with Acid Witch this last week. But no, I mean, it looks sick. And I really hope they do a full country tour and come down here.
So, you know, you just mentioned it right off the bat. You were just on tour. You're heading out on another tour. What's it been like, you know, because there was like that year and a half or so where no tours were happening. What's it been like for you to be out there busting your ass on the road again?
Honestly, it feels like normal. We were one of the first black or death metal bands to really go back out and do a full tour in October, November of 21.
Yeah.
And it kind of just felt like nothing really changed. You know, the crowds were a little thinner here and there. And I think some of that had to do with just promotion and hitting certain cities around Halloween. You know, there's a lot of things going on, but no, I mean, for the most part, it's felt normal. You know, most cities are coming out like they used to be, and yeah, not too much has changed. So it's good to get back out there for sure. And I feel like this year is definitely the year that it's really opening back up and festivals are happening.
Yeah.
More tours are happening. So yeah, it's awesome.
So I kind of buried the lead here. You guys are going to be playing Northwest Terror Fest July 2nd, actually, at Numo's Barboza. You guys are going to be out on tour with Bewitcher, both bands. You guys are going to be playing Northwest Terror Fest after a couple years of being away during the pandemic. Northwest Terror Fest is back. So I'm stoked to see you guys. I'm assuming, how many times have you been to the Northwest as a band?
Honestly, as Cloak, only once. I've been there with a couple other bands, but yeah, as Cloak, we've only been there once when we did a tour with UADA and awesome. Wormwitch April of 2019. And so we've actually played Portland and Seattle once. We've hit Northern California twice, but we've only made it up to Pacific Northwest one time. So it'll be cool to get back there.
Absolutely, man. And you guys are going to be a part of Northwest Terror Fest. So, you know, we kind of chatted a little bit about like Maryland Death Fest, you know, your friends went. And so I'm curious, as a band, you know, I'm not a musician, I'm just a show goer, I'm a fest goer. As a band, do you approach playing a fest any different than you would like a headlining or supporting show on your own?
Not really. It's especially on a tour, because that'll be the same set that we do every night on tour. But say if we were to play Psycho Vegas and that is just a festival date, then we might kind of rearrange the set to be a little bit differently depending on set times and all that. But no, I mean, it's typically the same. We give it our all every night, small show or big show. So there's usually a little more energy in the air at festivals and people are kind of hungry for it. But at the same time, depending on the slot, they could be kind of tired to just seeing music all day. And I think we're headlining the Barbosa stage. Playing on the second, I believe. So we'll be playing last, I believe. So it'll be cool for sure.
So as part of just a kind of a highlight of it is Barbosa is downstairs, and it's a little bit more of an intimate setting. So it's going to be really cool because Numos is like the main stage and it's awesome. Don't get me wrong, but Barbosa, you know, there's something special about that. You know, when the weekend people get their beers flowing and when you get to see, you know, a band like you guys downstairs in that intimate setting, it's going to be really special.
Cool. Yeah. It's good to hear. I was looking up pictures of the venue and I couldn't really get a read. It definitely looks like a little more of a smaller room, but not in a bad way. It'll definitely be packed out, I would assume.
Absolutely, man. So, you know, as a show goer, as a metalhead growing up, you know, have you been able to go to festivals just on your own, like not playing?
Yeah, I've been to MDF twice. I went to Psycho, but we played the year that we went. I've been to a handful, but a lot of the times it was because we were playing. I've definitely been to a few, and they're cool for sure. I mean, it's definitely a different atmosphere, and I don't really know which one I enjoy playing more, because when it's a tour or you know, your own show, it's definitely a different feeling than being a part of a festival, which seems like a bit of a sampler sometimes. Which can be a good thing, because we've definitely gained fans playing fests before, because it is a sampler.
Exactly.
People, you know, they'd be like, "Oh, I haven't heard that band, and that was really cool." So it's definitely a good thing, and I think it's necessary to do.
Awesome, man. Well, you know, so you mentioned how you guys were one of the first kind of underground black and death metal bands and underground bands to go out and really do a full tour. But during that time, a few months, you know, maybe the year or so that you couldn't. How did you guys stay sane and how did you guys stay busy?
Well, we worked on an album probably like every other band during that time. Burning Dawn just came out in October of 19, and then 20 hit. We thought we were going to be doing a ton of touring on that, and obviously we didn't. So we just wrote, and the album's done. It's being mixed and mastered right now. It was a bit of a longer process than we thought it was going to be, but, I'm really, really excited to kind of get that out. It's going to take a bit, probably. It probably won't be released until earlier next year, just because the plants, pressing plants are insanely backed up. And just a various amount of reasons that it'll probably be early next year. You know, we didn't want to do another fall release for some reason. It just, we wanted to try to go, you know, early in the year. But that's what we did. We just took our time and we had a lot of time. And I think it shows. It's extremely detail oriented. And I think it'll shine through for sure.
That's awesome. So was that ever a problem where you had too much time and you were just like, tinkering with it, where, you know, like second guessing it because you had so much time to work on it? Was that ever an issue?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I definitely tinker with things. Cause like I said, this is a studio room where we demo a lot, and so I have full access to the recorded demos all the time. And, but it's also kind of cool to be able to just like really hone in on it and say, you know, I think this part needs to change or that part needs to change. But yeah, I'm definitely the one in the band to second guess pretty much everything. So it was a little tough at times, but it never really felt like, oh, we have too much time to work on this. Sure. On this. It was more like, I just want to get this out and, mm-hmm. and, you know, put it out and get it out into the world because I feel like it's our best material.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm looking forward to it. You know, you mentioned, you know, 2023 probably. So, you know, I'm sure I'll be hearing about it from Season to Miss and everything. So, yeah. As far as what got you into underground, because, you know, some people do, I apparently, but I didn't grow up with, a freaking, you know, Bathory CD right next to me. You know, what got you into the underground?
AFI.
Me too. I love really? That band. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I love I say this in a lot of interviews recently, cause it's come up a lot, but they're one of my all time favorite bands and I like all of their material. I know that's kind of taboo to say, and a lot of people stopped after Art of Drowning, but I don't know. I love Sing the Sorrow and December Underground and Burials. I love it all. But yeah, Black Sails and Art of Drowning when I was in sixth or seventh grade, really got me into punk. I was definitely into punk before metal.
Yeah.
So, you know, besides hearing when I was, you know, before that I was hearing Metallica and Korn and stuff like that on the radio. Mm-hmm. But what really got me to answer your question into the underground were bands like AFI, At the Drive-In, NoFX. You know, I was a young kid, so that was what was presented to me at the time.
So do you have a Nightmare Before Christmas tattoo?
No, definitely not. Do you?
I do not. But I do still have the ticket stub. I went and saw, it was one of my first like big shows I went to. It's $10. It was AFI, Thrice on their first tour. It's a band called No Motive and this band called Himsa.
Okay, cool. Yeah. My first show ever was the Sing the Sorrow tour.
In, awesome.
I want to say May of 2003. And amazing. I mean, yep. It was classic line, classic just look of theirs and the feel of the show. I mean, I was so young and it was such an impactful moment.
With everyone reenacting the Leaving Song, hardcore dancing with the bandanas around their face.
I don't know. We'd have to ask. I was so young, but my drummer, Sean, was at the show.
Yeah.
And he's 4 years older than me. And he was kind of more into the hardcore scene. Mm-hmm. You know, I was 13 and he was 17. So he would remember that stuff probably more. I just remember I was so small. We were sitting on mm-hmm. There's like steps to the venue to come in. And the only way I was able to see was standing on the steps. And so he was probably, no, actually, you know what? He regrets it to this day. He left before they played. I think it was some weird story that he had where he had to leave, but, yeah, no, that's funny though. I don't really remember. I don't think it was like that. I think people were just so enamored by the show that it was just kind of normal, you know, normal moshing and all that stuff. It wasn't really, I don't remember it being like this extreme hardcore crowd. It was goth kids and punk mm-hmm. kids and hardcore kids all mixed into one and metal kids. Cause that's sort of what they attracted was everything at that time. You know,
they were all a part of the Despair faction. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting nerdy here with AFI lore. I love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Never thought we'd go down this this road, but I like it, man. It's
I mean that I feel like they were sort of the kings of the underground at the time. And like
absolutely.
I was so young, that was just that was the band to get into. And I didn't, you know, like you said, I didn't start off listening to Bathory or Morbid Angel or anything like that. That stuff took time and grew on me.
But the thing is with a band like AFI, so, you know, just to go a little bit deeper with this, is they're a band that, you know, if you were to listen to their influences, you could go either way. You could go into the hardcore world. You can go into the punk world. You could go into the Depeche Mode or Sisters of Mercy world.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
There's so many different ways, and they represent through the different t-shirts they wear, the bands they thank, you know, the bands they cover with Misfits and, you know, all that stuff. So, they're perfect.
That's how I got into the Misfits through mm-hmm. them. And then that got me into 80s hardcore and so on and so on. But yeah, like you said, I mean, I know Jade, the guitarist, listened to a ton of black metal when he wrote Art of Drowning. I was reading an article and he was listening.
That's cool.
Yeah. I was actually really surprised. He was listening to like really good, I mean, Dark Throne and Windir and Old Cradle Filth, just tons of stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that makes sense for sure.
It's dark. Yeah. Awesome, man. That's cool. Well, I didn't know that. I'll have to check out that article.
Yeah.
So, you know, just, I could, you know, tell you all about the Seattle Northwest, you know, metal scene and stuff, but I'm always curious about different scenes and stuff. So being in Atlanta, what's the metal and underground scene like there? And what are a couple bands that we should check out?
It's really good here. Honestly, a lot of people are surprised when I say that, but when they come through, they're like, oh, that show is really, really well attended.
Yeah.
You know, we have a really cool following here, and we always have been supported. You know, great package tours come through here. They usually kind of stop here and don't really go down to Florida sometimes. So, kind of sucks to be below us sometimes, but, you know, sometimes tours will not come here either. And that's kind of the consequence of being in the South sometimes, but, bands to check out. I mean, Sadistic Ritual just put out a record. They're really good. It's thrash, but it's definitely something else too. It's really hard to describe. They do their own thing. Those are close friends of ours. Vimeur just put out a record. They're pure black metal. Let's see. Those are always the two main ones that I name. You know, there's tons of other bands, but those bands I really like. A band close to us that's not in Atlanta, but there's a member from Sadistic Ritual, and the band is Ecto Void, and they're a really, really good death metal band from Birmingham, Alabama. So they come here and play a lot.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Right on, dude. I'll have to check out some of those names, man.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, they're really good.
Awesome. Well, you know, I'm not going to take up your whole day here, but I am curious. A question I like to ask sometimes is, you know, we've talked about a variety of different bands here and stuff, and being that I host a radio show, if you were given a radio show, totally open template, what's a few bands that you would make sure you have to play for the listeners?
Ooh, new or old?
It doesn't matter, man. Totally open format.
Man, that's a hard one. I guess some bands that I really like that I feel go unnoticed sometimes are Veninum from Germany. Tafos from the Netherlands, I think, or Denmark, maybe. Those are both death metal bands that are doing something pretty different from the norm that I really like. And older bands, I don't know. I would play albums like Headless Cross from Black Sabbath. I feel like that's an underrated album that I really, really like.
You don't hear that one being mentioned very often.
No, and it's right now, it's my favorite Sabbath album for the past couple of years. You know, I love the Dio stuff, but the Tony Martin stuff almost falls into that same range, but that album is super dark and it's almost got that gothic undertone of the synthesizers and all of that. So I really like that. Bands like, there's so many to choose from, but yeah, I mean, probably the stuff that I feel goes a little bit unnoticed. I'm sure there's other ones, but there's just so many to choose from. I had one that I was thinking of that I forgot. I don't know, bands like Samhain, you know, the middle catalog of Danzig, which I feel like is just as good as Misfits or Danzig, the band. Yeah, I mean, the bands like that definitely influenced me and Cloak as a whole.
Okay, well, you brought up Danzig, so I have to ask, as a, you know, someone who probably loves Danzig as well. I'm a Danzig lover.
Me too. Yeah.
Favorite Danzig album?
I would. It's really hard for me to say, but I would say three objectively is their best.
Yeah.
Which I might agree with, but one has a really cool place in my heart because that was the first one that I ever heard.
Yeah.
And I just would play it all the time, getting ready for school back in high school. And it just has a certain, when I put it on, it has this like cold wintry feeling to me because I always listen to it in the mornings, you know, when it was probably winter.
Totally.
Yeah, I would probably say three though. But two rules too. And four is fantastic. So it's hard for me to say, but I'll go with three.
No one ever says five.
Yeah. not really a fan of much past four, to be honest.
Fair enough.
What about you?
You know, I think two or three, that's a toss up. One, but like, I mean, like you mentioned, one is what got me into it. You know, I heard Mother on the radio. You saw the video, got the CD. But two or three, man, and
two is really, really good.
I think it might be two. I think it might be two for them.
I mean, I can't argue with that. I mean, Devil's Plates. I just we went and saw them, and they did so much off of two. It was two or three weeks ago, and it was incredible.
Where'd you see them? In Atlanta?
In Atlanta, yeah. They came here, and Necrofire opened, and those dudes stayed at my house.
That's so cool.
They were telling me about the tour, but yeah, he did so much off of two, and it was. I say this every time I see him, and it was the fourth time I've seen him, but I think that was the best time. He sounded really good. Yeah. And he did just so many good classics.
That's awesome, man. Our love of AFI and Danzig is shining through, man. We're going to have to bro down at Northwest Terror Fest.
Yeah. I'll
try and find an old school AFI t-shirt I can gift you.
Oh, cool. That'd be much appreciated.
What size do you wear?
I'm a medium, but I can make, you know, larges work.
All right. I'll take a look and see if I got something for you, dude.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. And that's a good gift because I could probably sell that on Depop for
$300. I had so many cool old AFI shirts from Hot Topic in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to them. I had so many good ones though.
Yeah, me too. I had one that just said a fire inside with a little raven. Yeah.
Yep. I remember that one.
Yep. Right on, man. Okay, so my last question for you, dude, a little bit off the radar question, kind of weird, but I ask every person I talk to about this. Show us if you can, but if not, just tell us a story. Pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it.
Well, I have two funny ones. So that's a little one right there.
Okay.
And it's because I had a mole that was too big and I kept cutting it when I was shaving.
Oh.
So they had to cut the mole off of my body. And my friends were so mad because they're like, that was your signature mole.
That was your Lemmy mole, man.
Yeah. So that one's not that cool, but I have a little scar there.
Oh yeah.
And it's from skateboarding. I was pretty young and I had a rail out in front of my parents' cul-de-sac and I was grinding the rail and the rail flipped over. And it had these metal, you know, support legs and it flipped and I like landed right on it. It actually kind of hit a bunch of spots. It's like a scar here. It really wasn't that bad, but it left a lifetime scar. And I think it was because I had a hoodie on, but it just kind of cut through the hoodie. So if I didn't have the hoodie on, it'd probably be a lot deeper. Might have needed stitches, but those are the two I can think of.
Skateboarding and those elbows, man. Back when I would skate a lot, I always had what I called swellbows. They were always swollen.
Yeah. Get those after tattoos too on your elbow. They call it the swellbow. But yeah, I don't really have. Luckily, I've never broken a bone. I don't have that many battle scars. I know it's not that cool to say, but yeah, I never rode motorcycles, so I never really fell that way. And just skateboarding mainly.
I hear you, man. Well, let's keep it that way. Knock on wood. And all right, man. So again, July 2nd, and you can go see this band, Cloak. You can go see all of Northwest Terror Fest. Tickets available now. And Numos at Barboza. And again, man, thanks so much for taking the time. I'll see you at Northwest Terror Fest.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, come up and say hi for sure.
Right on. I'll talk to you then.
Dude. Cool. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.